broadcast. You're a part of the resistance.
Good morning, happy Monday, welcome back everybody. This is the Resistance Broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm John Hoey. I hope you had a wonderful weekend because it's time to get down to business, folks. And business is good because business is Star Wars in 2019. There is so much going on in the world of Star Wars this year, from TV shows, comic books, books, episode 9 to end it all. Star Wars Celebration, that little thing you may have heard of that's happening in a few months. We're going to be there, but now it is time to podcast. And what we're going to do here is talk about all this stuff that's in the news of late. Our new show is back. James, Lacey, guys, welcome back. How's it going? How was your weekend? Are you ready to dive into this quasi sort of news that we have going on this week?
Yeah, but I kind of want to talk a little bit about Dr. Aphra. Are you okay with that, John?
Are you talking about the character with the goggles?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah. John says that nobody compares Dr. Aphra to Han Solo. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I think they're crazy a little bit. Put in the comments of wherever you're listening to who would you compare Dr. Aphra to if you said kind of a so-and-so type character?
Okay, I've never heard anybody compare her to Han Solo, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But I'm not really looking out for Dr. Aphra.
And if you can't think of anything to compare her to, then just write James don't say, is a banana.
Don't say it.
Banana.
Lacey, how's it going?
Good. Just hanging out. Good. It's 2019, so.
Lacey, is your room? Your room looks different.
I know. I spent like a week, guys, like organizing.
That's all she's been talking about, guys. That she reorganized her room.
You're a movie buff, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Did you see Mortal Engines?
No. Is it good?
No, because I wouldn't go see this movie. But I heard that in this movie, my mild spoiler. I don't even really consider it a spoil, but apparently in the book, this like futuristic world compares everything to Mickey Mouse. So they like. They hype him up like he's some sort of, remembrance of the past or something like that. But since the studio that did Mortal Engines couldn't use Mickey Mouse, they had to replace it with something they own. So they replaced it with Minions.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, you can't do that. That's terrible.
They were like, yeah, just throw Minions in there.
They're like, what's our biggest Minions. Like? Most iconic animated character we have. Oh, Minions, that'll work.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh,
it's terrible. It's not even.
Was Mortal Engines better than Pain and Gain or
no
Men in Black?
Mortal Engines was supposed to be good. It was like hyped as like the next Lord of the Rings because it was like Peter Jackson's thing.
That's what
they hyped
that?
It. They hyped it as that.
Well, they hyped it as. They're like,
but then people
I can make a movie and I can be like, this is the next Star Wars, but it doesn't mean anything.
I wonder how many people is skipping ahead like, okay, Star Wars, where's the Star Wars?
Get to the Star Wars stuff. Hey, do we have any poll results this week?
We do. So we asked you guys, how good is Mortal Engines? And you responded with 0%.
0% said
poor Mortal Engines.
All right, guys. Now, we asked you guys that we said flashbacks are now a thing in Star Wars, and we've discussed this particular possibility before in the podcast, but we want to ask you guys, will Han Solo appear in a flashback in episode 9? One last paycheck for Mr. Ford. We know he's looking around for colleges for his son. Tuition is expensive in New York. Come on, maybe a little money, huh? So 39% of you said yes.
Didn't he make like 50 mil off Star Wars, though?
Yeah, but he buys the earrings and he buys the airplanes.
Oh, yeah. He crashes buys one the earring. Airplanes.
Yeah, so, you know, planes are expensive.
Buys another airplane.
So that means 61% of you out there said no, he will not make a cameo in episode 9. So 61% mm-hmm. of you are probably realistic, but no fun. And that's okay. Guys, what do you think? About 60% saying no chance for Harrison Ford coming back.
It's funny because I actually voted what I don't think.
Why?
Because I read the question and I was like, you'll understand. I was like, will Alden Ehrenreich be in a Han Solo flashback scene like that? I don't know. Like, that's how where my brain went. And I was like, no, like, they're not going to do that. Why would they do that? And I voted no. And then I'm like, oh, I guess it's just like Han Solo in general. Yeah, I've said that I think he would. Mm-hmm. Or I think it's likely that he would. I think that would be a good way to do something that maybe was a missed opportunity in the other movies. So they'd figure out a way to kind of shoehorn it in there, make it make sense collectively, bring everything back to those three on screen together.
Right.
But yeah, I voted no. It won't be Alden Ehrenreich with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher.
I think I voted no too, though.
Okay, so you voted no. All right. I voted yes.
I voted no because I was like, there's no way he would want to do it again. But if they were like, oh, let's be tricky and use a quote from another movie that has nothing to do with him, then that's a way they could do it. I don't know. I said no.
Harrison Ford would never turn down a paycheck. I don't think it would be beyond him to say, yeah, I'll pop in for a day and film a scene. That's my take.
Do you think it has to be something that they need extra, or would they be like, hey, you know, we're doing all that stuff with Carrie. Like, can mm-hmm. we do that with some of your unused stuff too?
Or yeah, that's possible too. Who knows? But a lot of people commented, no, Harrison said he's done and he wanted the character killed off last time. And he probably made a deal to have him killed off. But it's like, yeah, he wanted the character's story arc to end, and that hasn't changed. But he's not going to be like, they're not going to be like, Harrison, we'll give you 10 mil to fly in for a day.
Please.
He's going to be like, yeah, no, and guys, my character, yeah. guys.
Get I need it too. Is like 12.
I feel like that often gets misquoted too. Like when he was presented with the idea of what should happen to my characters in these future installments, he says, oh, it would be cool, just like most movies, most characters, to make some sort of sacrifice or to be killed, and it sets the stakes and things like that. But when that didn't happen, he's like, okay, well, whatever, different movie.
Yeah.
It's not like he's gunning, pushing for his character to die. Like,
he said George likes action figures. I think that was the actual quote. If he kills me off, he can't make more action figures. But yeah, so we had some comments like that, but then we also had our best comment. Went to Donnell Gebben. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I believe this is your first time commenting. Sorry. At Don P. Star. And they said, not Harrison Ford, but I can totally see a flashback to Han Solo's funeral. It was a missed opportunity in The Last Jedi, having been featured in the novelization. So it wouldn't be Harrison Ford coming back unless they did some kind of weird, creepy, like, mannequin in an open casket or something.
Mannequin.
You know?
Mannequin. But his body blew up with Starkiller, though.
Yeah, you're going to say his body? No,
his body is gone.
Chewie probably didn't go get him.
What a waste of a leather jacket.
Yeah, right.
One of the perks of getting the Last Jedi novelization is that they said they went more into like his funeral or his...
Early on, right? Yeah, right at the
kind of memorial.
Stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think they had a body. I think it was like...
No, yeah.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying is Donnell here is saying, you know, it might have been a missed opportunity not to show Han Solo's funeral, but I don't think he ever had like a proper get together. I think they just kind of, you know, said, hey, we're trying to do our best here, just like Han gave his best, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe there was some brief ceremony or something like that, but it wasn't a true funeral. But yeah, I know Han Solo's body's gone. I just like, I'm a big Weekend at Bernie's fan. If you can get Han Solo with some string and be like, hey guys, flying the Falcon. That'd be kind of funny.
So messed up.
All right, guys.
He's just sitting there.
That does it for poll results. Probably our longest poll segment in the history of 2019. So it is time for our news segment, and we call that the Resistance Report. And the guy you see in the red shirt, who doesn't look anything like me, James Bainey, is going to run that segment. Go get him, James.
It's the Resistance.
It's like punch it, Chewie. It's like, go get him, James.
Get him, James. It's the
goat bit.
You guys.
This week, not a whole lot of news, guys, but we do know officially that we are getting the Cassian Andor series in 2019. Or I'm sorry, 2020. It's starting production in 2019. Sorry, I just gave like five people a scare there. Like people freaking out. They're like,
you gave
what?
Five people ready to comment saying, you're wrong, James.
Yeah.
They'd already typed it out. They were like,
oh. Enter.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about here other than the fact that there is a website that's dedicated to kind of scheduling and talking about a lot of the production that's going on in different locations. And they were the people that said it. Hey, just so that everybody knows, production is scheduled to commence in October of 2019 on the Cassian Andor show starring Diego Luna. So I guess this kind of just gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit again about like what we think the show, how it's going to be delivered, or when we think we're going to get more news of like who else is going to be in the show, things along those lines. Now, I actually wanted to mention too that Stephen Schiff is doing the show, and I don't know. The news must have passed over my head so quickly. He is the showrunner for The Americans, which is like a super like spy thriller television show that has like amazing reviews. I don't really watch television. What is it?
I think it has a lot of fight scenes and stuff.
Yeah. But I don't watch a lot of television, but I do like every time there's a commercial for that show in particular, I go, I bet that show would be really good.
But I'm not going
to
watch
it. So it does excite me to hear that one of my new favorite characters in all of Star Wars is getting a show basically directed by this person. I know it'll be different directors, but in television, the showrunner is like the director. So, John, I want to ask you, when do you think, because you're kind of our go-to date guy, when do you think we're going to start getting more casting?
He is?
I think so.
John, are you the date
guy? His dates.
Am I? I don't know. Am I not, Lacey?
When have you been right?
I don't know. I've been right sometimes.
So, Lacey, when do you think we're going to start getting casting announcements?
No, I think it'll follow a similar pattern to The Mandalorian. I think the Mandalorian's hand was forced a little bit by the leaks that were coming out, but I think, you know, it maybe midsummer or so. I don't think it's as important as the Mandalorian though, because we kind of know it. Like I said, it's a prequel show, so you're not really hiding too much here. You don't need to be like we already know these types of characters. Where the Mandalorian, you're kind of looking ahead with that giant time gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. A lot of all new characters pretty much there. Whereas the Cassian Andor, I'm thinking we're going to see some Bodhi Rook. Maybe we're going to see some other people we may have seen. Maybe even Saw Gerrera. Who knows? Trickle their ways back into his life. K2SO. So I think you'll get a, hey, this guy's back. This person's back. She's back. This person's back. Whereas the Mandalorian was a bit different. But time frame wise, I'm thinking maybe end of summer we'll start seeing that sort of stuff. It depends on how they're marketing their other stuff. I think they're going to dance it around like the nine marketing, and so there's not too much overlap. So maybe the dog days of summer when stuff's kind of died down a bit, August, that type of thing is what I'm thinking.
So do you think there's any chance, Lacey, that we'll get more information on this at Celebration, or do you think it's too far that they're going to try to focus on Mandalorian episode 9 stuff?
No, I think they'll do... they'll probably announce it in like the what's coming next type panel, like what's next for Star Wars. I could see them announcing a title for the series and or showing some concept art, but that's pretty much it. I don't think they want to get into it right now.
Maybe a little too far away. In, like a via satellite with Cassian, or what's his name, Diego Luna, saying like, hey guys, you know, wish I could be there.
Or he might show up.
Ready to...
So do you think it's more likely that we would get earlier casting announcements if the cast does in fact turn out to be people that we already know?
I mean,
they could probably announce a couple people like so-and-so's returning, this person's returning, we're adding one new character. I've seen them do that kind of thing where they only announce a couple people, but the people that they have definitely locked in.
Because like with Mandalorian, it seems like all those characters, John, you were pointing out are new characters. So maybe they hold off because they can hold off a little later on this. But since we already kind of have an idea of who might be around in this time frame, do you think they'll say, you know, oh, we're bringing this person back, you know, It would be stupid, but like Felicity Jones coming, you know, is set to, because we already know who that is.
I don't know if she's going to be in it only because he meets her at the end.
No. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying it's stupid. I'm trying to think of other examples. But other the thing examples. Is, like, I think
they'll probably say Alan Tudyk because everyone wants K2SO back.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good example. Like,
you're 99.9% of fans are assuming he's coming back. So just to give fans a bone, like D23 or earlier, hey, look who's back.
I think
back.
That could be. Bing, Alan Tudyk. Yeah, I think if you were talking casting news, I would say that would be the big announcement, is that they're going to give you a name, maybe some concept art, and that will be the big surprise of, oh, and Alan Tudyk is back.
Yeah,
and there's still plenty of time for us to give him more surprises, like
and he'd show up too.
Returning characters showing up later, you know. The other thing too, I want to talk about it. We talked about it once briefly before, but I don't see Rogue One characters showing up in this movie because of the way that they all meet in that film.
You
but
mean
I
TV
do
series?
See
you mean this TV series?
Oh, did I say movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see Rogue One characters showing up in this TV series because of how they meet in that movie. But I do see the potential of a lot of Rebels characters maybe coming to life. Yeah, because that to me makes a lot more sense than like Chirrut and Baze. Because like they're not really doing anything, but the possibility of like Ahsoka or Hera... those characters that are like heavily, heavily installed in the rebellion at that time.
I can see Hera. I can't see
like a Dodonna, like a Mon Mothma.
Yeah,
Bail Organa possibly. Like those types of characters. Now, granted,
James, I think
some of those, I guess, are Rogue One characters as well. But
I think you could guarantee Mon Mothma. They'll bring that actress back, and the guy who.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it like? Do you think it's more likely that we're going to get those types of announcements than it is? Over someone like the Mandalorian,
I don't think anyone
like,
cares about that.
Like,
you know what I mean? I think when
you don't
people
think that people care. They just assume that that's
I think
already happening.
Assume that, yeah. I think what they'd care about is if they heard Mads Mikkelsen was going to be in it, and there's going to be some kind of thing there about him, you know, how he got a part of doing the designs of the Death Star and stuff. But I think what would be the really white hot type of stuff would be like they did with the Mandalorian, where you hear names that you know. But they had no affiliation with Rogue One. So you're like, wait, Nicolas Cage is going to be in that Cassian Andor series? Who the hell is he going to play? Like that type of stuff. Because with The Mandalorian, we got the names, but we don't know who these people are. You know, we don't know who they're playing yet, except, you know, Nolte allegedly playing it. Not. But I don't know. It's I think with, you know, the more I think about it, the more it's different because of that. Like you were like we were saying, the Rogue One tie-ins, and it may just be like Mon Mothma is going to be in, and we're gonna be like,
okay,
all right, like what else you got? You know,
I like that it sounded like you almost said Brogue One, like
bro,
we're gonna do
one.
Some shots and then we're gonna go take down the Death Star.
Yeah, bro.
Cassian Andor just a total bro.
Yeah, they're all wearing sideways hats like the whole movie,
tank tops, like bro.
Yeah, pop collars and like
Red
kegs
Bull vodkas.
Everywhere. There's a new keg droid. Like,
see, Brogue One to me, I just think of like an Irish brogue.
Oh yeah,
the keg droid is K3G.
Maybe Colin Farrell will be in it, and it'll be called Brogue One.
They all wear kilts.
I like that.
I think we've exhausted this story as much as possible.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one. This week we're kind of continuing another story that we talked about a long time ago. We had Clayton Sandell from ABC News on the show
in August
a while back. Yeah, and the news at the time was that Carrie Fisher was going, or they were going to use footage from The Force Awakens in Episode 9. But then Clayton came on to clarify that they're also going to be using Last Jedi footage as well. And this all came from Todd Fisher. And now Todd's speaking with Clayton again for ABC News. And he's saying a little bit more about how they're really proud of what they're doing and that there's actually a lot more content than one might think. I'm going to read a quote real quick. He says, "There's a lot of minutes of footage. I don't mean just outtakes. This is unused, new content that could be woven into the storyline. That's what is going to give everybody such a great kick. It's going to look like like it was meant to be, like it was shot yesterday. We're not alone, or we're not allowed to talk about the details of anything, but we're thrilled at what's been done. So the biggest standout to me right away is the use of the word "there's minutes of footage." And recently we've been talking a lot about how much screen time people are going to have. So to say that, like, Carrie Fisher was in The Force Awakens, I think we came to the conclusion there was 9 minutes or something along those lines,
around
right?
There,
9 minutes, and then like 6 or 7 minutes or something like that for Last Jedi. So to say that there's minutes of footage literally means that she could have just as big of a role, in my opinion. John, do you think that, this points to her having more than just a glorified cameo?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a shocking amount of Leia in this movie. And I remember Kathleen Kennedy said, we're not going to be doing any kind of CGI with Carrie. We're going to honor her.
I'm so glad they aren't.
But that was when Colin Trevorrow was still helming the film. JJ may have had a meeting and said, guys, we can't do this without using a little bit. Like, you got to work with me here. We want to honor her. We can't just be like, and now here's Leia. Okay, attack that Star Destroyer. Thanks, Leia. Like, you know,
it's just a puppet.
They got to do something.
Help
so I think
me, Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they may have flipped the script on that a little bit now. I think those comments are gone. Actually, you know, you don't really hear from Kathleen Kennedy lately anyway, but I think they may weave a little CGI, like they keep saying the word magical and stuff like that. So I think they're going to put a perfect tight package together from the minutes they have and the beauty and excellence of ILM to bring her fully to life and give her an actual performance in episode 9, more than just a, let's paste this scene we haven't used here. So I'm fully hyping it, and I know what that always does. You set yourself up for disappointment, but I'm expecting to be very surprised by what they're able to pull off. So I think we'll get a substantial amount of Leia in this movie, not, you know, a New Hope amount or Empire, but like we've kind of had, like James, we were saying, the 7 minutes, the 5 minutes, enough where, oh, Leia was in episode 9 and it didn't feel weird or out of place to me.
Lacey, do you ever think that Todd just kind of like speaks off the cuff? Because sometimes he said a few things that Kathleen Kennedy has come out and said, absolutely not. That's not true. Todd's confused. You know, we've gotten that statement before coming from the head of Lucasfilm. And even in this statement, he says there's lots of footage that could be woven into the storyline, and then later says, I'm thrilled at what's been done. So you think he would have said new content that has been woven into the storyline. So maybe there's a lot of the stuff that, even though they have the minutes of footage, they're still not using it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this story?
I think that Todd, first of all, the Kathleen Kennedy thing, he was right. And she was, I don't think she was lying. I think she was telling what she was told. And then she ended up to not know as much because she's not, you know, down on the field, like in the nitty gritty weeds of what's going on probably. I think that he's dealing with the passing of his sister, who he loved dearly, and I think this is his way of dealing with it and remembering her and getting excited at the aspect of her legacy carrying on. I mean, any person that loses someone they care about, like the idea of honoring them in a way that speaks to them and speaks to you, and then you feel like you're part of it because they had to get his approval. I think he's speaking out of excitement. I don't think he's speaking wrongly. I'm sure he doesn't know all the details of what's going on, but I'm sure they're showing him everything at every step of the way because they want him fully on board. The last thing they need PR-wise is for them to do something and him to turn around and say, I did not approve this. Carrie wouldn't have liked this. Right. I don't agree with this.
And let's not forget that her daughter is in episode 9.
Yeah, and she also approved it. She was like, look, it's magical. That's the exact word she used. So the fact that they're getting the family on board is super important to the family, but also to the fans, because if the family's all for it, then you know fans are going to be for it. That's, I'm sure they're not overselling it.
And it's also important that they're commenting on it again, because I know we talked extensively on this when Clayton was on the show.
They're so secretive, too. Like, just give us something, guys. Like,
that and people,
why let people make stuff up?
I don't know, man.
I think they're right to do this. I think some of the times they're just like, you guys are all speculating and you're all so off that we're not going to try to lead you in the right direction. You know?
No, well, I mean, it's like Matt Martin tweeted recently about how he, a lot of the work that he does, especially leading into this year in 2019, and I apologize, Matt, if I'm misquoting you. I don't mean to. I'm paraphrasing.
Love you, Matt.
I'm paraphrasing for Matt. Is that he said that, you know, a lot of the work going into this year, his work is done. And he was having empathy for the person that does social, Michelle, who was saying, oh my God, my year's just starting. And he's like, oh, my year's mostly done. And he said one of the things he always laughs at, well, not laughs at, but kind of is comical in the sense of when you're behind the scenes, is everyone was saying how Disney would never kill off main characters in a Star Wars movie. And then in Rogue One, they killed off everybody. Spoiler alert. And Matt was saying how he'd kind of chuckle to himself because everyone would speculate, oh, yeah, they never do that. And he's like, yeah, guys, we killed everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wait. It's going to happen.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No, absolutely. What I was trying to get at was, you know, and we have spoken about this, is that it's important for the family to come out and express their
absolutely
approval. And I don't care if it's over and over and over again, because you're fighting back on the detractors who are like, she's dead, you're disgracing her, blah, blah, blah. They're coming out and saying, we approve 100%. This is magical. This
we
is beautiful.
This.
This is wonderful. So I think no matter what Todd says, whether it's, oh, he said that already, or he said that, keep doing it, Todd. Keep going out there and keep saying
you
it.
You do because, you, Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really important for the family to get in front of it in that way,
absolutely,
even if it's nothing too revealing.
Absolutely.
So before we get to this next story, I have one little bit of speculation I want to feel you guys
out
on this.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Buckle up. Little Leia speculation. All right, so this thing is magical. That's the word they keep using. So do you think that there's any chance that by the end of this movie, Luke, in the Force, comes to her and takes her into the Force, like... So she doesn't have to wait to die or to be killed, but she like enters into that next state of existence
field of dreams,
with him.
Like she walks across the foul line and all of a sudden she's in the cornfields, that type of thing.
Yeah. Sort of thing. Like he says, like he like kind of like extends the hand or something and she comes into that world with him, and Rey and Finn and Poe are all there to witness that happen. And maybe that's your Harrison Ford cameo. Maybe he's on the other side with Luke.
Oh, now you're talking about
non-force
user ghosts?
Well, I know that's a little crazy, but I'm saying, like, could you imagine that scene of the three of them on one side and the three others on the other? You know, like all standing there together.
Yeah, that's where you lost me a little bit.
I'm gonna say no. And
okay, maybe.
When I hear magical, what I think is, one, I think she's gonna survive this series, or
I do
two,
too.
This is my second theory. Because we all have tons of them. By magical, I guarantee they're going to try it to make her use the Force again. Because the first time we really see her use it is in The Last Jedi. And when I hear magical, I think like magic and wizards and like Jedi.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that like it isn't so much Luke like taking over her and bringing her in. It's more like, I don't know. I feel
what
like
a way to send
there's
her
so
off
much empty she, empty right time after all this Force Ghost stuff has happened, that there's a potential that Luke has taught this method to other people. You
right,
know what I mean? Or has a greater understanding of when people die and they enter into like the cosmic force or the living force, whichever it is.
They become the Force, as Yoda says.
No, but I'm saying like you might be able to connect with other things that have died or you know, might be able to somehow keep their consciousness, more so than just like other Force users. You could go find other people from your past that somehow exist in that realm. And then that would just be like years and years of people speculating on like, well, now that we know that that's possible, like,
yeah, I don't see
what
that
else
happening.
Does that mean? No,
I think you're going to see more cut and dry in this series, especially with the reaction to The Last Jedi. I think you're going to see a lot more straightforward Force using.
I like the setup there. And by the way, I think Leia's first time using the Force was in Empire when she connected with Luke. But
I meant like physically doing something with her hand.
Yeah.
but I like what you said there, James, in terms of like, you know, that's her ending with Luke. I think that'd be beautiful. I think
her
cry.
Ending is going to be her using the Force to sacrifice herself for Kylo Ren.
Well, we'll see about that.
Mother's love.
I do like what you said, James. I like that Luke and Leia going off together, the twins come in, not together, they leave together sort of thing. But you lost me a little when you brought Han in the mix and then you saw three on three looking at each other. That got a little crazy for that got a little fanficky for me. But I did like, let's back it away a little. The idea is not crazy. and I'm with Lacey too though, because I think Leia's surviving. So it's like I like that I have no friggin' clue. And I hope that stands for another, you know, 10 months or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be, so people think Han's going to be in this movie some way, which I can totally understand why people would think that. I can't even fathom how they're going to work him in unless they do a flashback of Kylo Ren killing him again.
So you can fathom a way.
Well, like, I don't know. I can't think of anything other than that. You know what I mean?
I can't think of any possibility except for this one possibility, which actually seems kind of realistic.
No. I mean, like, outside of that scene, which we've already seen take place.
All right. Well, see you later, John. do you want to actually talk a little bit about this this fan film that came out? Let's talk a little bit about that. John can come back in here in a minute. But we got the Star Wars Theory, which is a very, very successful, very popular YouTube channel. This guy's constantly talking about stuff. And as far as I know, I'm not like a big follower of the YouTube channel, but I kind of poked around a little bit and I was listening to some of his videos and stuff. And I don't really think like he's doing anything crazy or outlandish. I think he's just kind of doing what we're doing, like talking about the news, talking about different things. And he, I don't have any references for this. I heard this, that he spent somewhere around the realm of like $100,000 making this fan film.
Was it crowdfunded or his own money?
I don't know if it's crowdfunded, but his follow-up is supposed to be crowdfunded. He says, if you liked what we did here, then continue to do this. I am not a fan of fan films.
Why?
I like making movies and I like the idea and all that, but I can't watch them because I'm just like, it's bad. I can just see bad all over it. I think there's definitely like a couple good things in here that I'm like, dang, that's an accomplishment. That looks really cool. Or this one element of it. But as a whole, it kind of irks me because I'm seeing people review this. I'm seeing people review this fan film with quotes like, did a fan just do Star Wars better than Disney and stuff like that. And that just drives me nuts because I can't fathom how anybody could possibly see this and say, this was better than Rogue One. This 10-minute clip there are people saying that.
I think people are saying that it's better than The Last Jedi. I don't think people are saying it's better than Rogue One.
But they're saying doing Star Wars. Maybe.
I think that's what they're referencing. If I was looking, because I read the comments and whatever.
So we're talking about the Vader fan film.
Yes, we haven't really spoken about it yet. So the other night,
I mostly talked about it.
My son threw up everywhere. I had to run upstairs.
Oh goodness! All right. He used the force of vomit fan film.
He was watching Attack of the Clones, and they got Dexter scene.
So I was in my living room the other day and I got this smart TV recently, which connects directly to YouTube and everything, which is bringing me into 2019, let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
So I was on.
He sweet bragged you. Look at that.
Well, I'm explaining why I was watching it on my TV, but so they had the YouTube app and I was searching and I had heard about this thing. I don't know about you guys. I read it everywhere. It was all over Twitter. Yeah. It was all over Facebook. Mm-hmm. And maybe not to the bigger population, but it was definitely trending, like hot trending in the Star Wars community. I hadn't had a chance to watch it because, you know, Christmas and stuff. So I was here one night and I was just like, you know, let me take a watch. Because I was expecting my reaction to be very similar to James. Because, again, I went to school for video production. So, like, the weirdest things annoy me. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I thought the parts that they were making callbacks to the movies where Vader holds up the blaster bolts and it's like, obviously, Kylo Ren, you see him do one and then Vader does like 30. The thing I was impressed about is a lot of the shots were just really pretty shots. Like the setups of the shots were great. I thought the makeup on Anakin was amazing, where he's like all burnt and charred. It was really cool. I thought the special effects were pretty good. And the storyline was kind of, but I think it was just really fun to see Vader again, because the most like badass Vader we've seen so far has been Rogue One. Let's be honest. Like that scene alone made Rogue One.
Yeah.
And it almost didn't get in the movie, and it was my favorite part. And I remember just screaming when it came on screen. I was like, oh my God. So I think people just want to see a scene like that. And that's why they've kind of latched on to this, because you have these older fans that grew up loving Vader, having Vader be their villain. And obviously he's not in the sequel trilogy, so they're having nostalgic callbacks to Vader. I get it. I thought it was fun. It was cool. The passion that went into it was really creative, and you can tell that people really cared to do it. Do I think it's better than other people's work? I think that's just rude to compare work, because as someone that does creative stuff, it kind of sucks when people are like, well, clearly this person's podcast is better than this podcast, or this video is better than this video, because we're all just caring about this. So anytime I see comparisons going on, like, obviously you want to get better and you want to be good at what you do, but there's a line. And I think that line is like, you can't just automatically be like, oh, this is so much better. It's weird that people say that, because you can't compare. There's like multi-million dollar budgets in line for these movies.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one of my reasons why I always feel like every time I'm like, yeah, it's not Star Wars or it sucks. Like I can see right through it. Most of the time that comes down to like the visual effects are bad, or the costumes are bad, or the acting's bad. And it's like all that stuff comes from the fact that, well, they're not working with like class A actors, and they're not working with $1 million budgets and things like that. So I understand those things, but sometimes the reason I don't like these things is because they miss main story elements and things like that. They're not giving me something interesting. And I think that's one of your points here too, is that you're like, the story's like meh. And I understand this is supposed to be just the beginning, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Like Vader attacking Palpatine. That doesn't make sense to me.
But then
Palpatine,
it's like a dream, like,
placing
his
hand on Vader multiple times. I know, but like, That's weird too. That's like such a stereotypical thing. Like,
it's sloppy writing. Dream. Yeah, it's sloppy.
You know what's funny? It reminded me of like a weird section of a Darth Vader comic.
No, exactly. Exactly. When I read that headline that said, did, you know, so-and-so just do better than Disney? I thought the only thing that this is better than is like, this is the type of stories that they tell in the comics sometimes.
Yeah.
These are like these little sidestep stories where not a whole lot happens if you just read one comic, but like over the course of a long period, maybe there's more to this story. But the only thing you really get out of it is like, oh, Anakin still misses and deals with the death of Padme.
Yeah, my take on this video.
That's all there is.
Is it is a really well done fan film of a tribute to a character that these people love.
And everybody loves. Everybody loves Vader.
And nothing more. It was just well done. I thought the story, like, I don't even remember what the story was. It was like Palpatine in his bedroom, and Vader walked in, and he was like, hey.
No, he's in the throne room.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, but he's not, though, because they're in this like weird 12 by 12.
You know what really took me out of the movie, to be honest? What took me out? And I don't even know if this is true.
That,
so someone
almost every quote was a quote from an existing Star Wars movie? God.
No.
It's like, I've heard that before.
And someone's going to correct me, and feel free to do that. When he's choking the Emperor, one of the two, the three times that he's choking him, because he just chokes him like seven times. When they pan to his shoes, he's wearing like knockoff Payless slip-ons. And it really bothers me. And now everyone's going to go back and watch it, because I don't think the Emperor is wearing those shoes that your grandpappy wears at Christmas because his feet are cold.
Maybe he borrowed them from Tarkin.
And look, I get it. I know that Snoke wore slippers, but like this was, it immediately took me out, because it looked like the shoes that my husband's dad wears. And
you
I was like,
took me out of it?
So Greg and the Emperor shop in Payless.
Yeah. I want to be very clear that
I'm sorry that that's the weird thing that like really threw me off about this whole movie.
She Palpatine on Amazon Prime, just like buy one get one.
Yeah,
Doctor shows comfort.
Vader, I need your assistance. You need to pick up this deal.
Unlimited
use this coupon.
Free shipping.
Ooh, no laces, slip-ons.
No, I want to be clear though, because as far as fan films go, like usually, now these weren't great. These weren't amazing, over the top, but there were some things in it that I was like, that actually looks pretty good.
Like the
Star Destroyer,
it was
a lot better.
Cool.
A lot better. Yeah, but it's easy to do ships.
I loved the shot up close of him where his eyes go from red to blue.
That's also pretty easy. I guess I'm thinking
James Baney's like, making part two of this, and then we're
I didn't know James was next Steven Spielberg.
Well,
here.
I mean, like a lot of the ships in these Star Wars movies are already like pre-made. Like you just download them and add them into your stuff. You just
Pond5.com.
James, are you directing like, Avatar 4? And we're gonna see.
maybe. No, but again, what I'm trying to say is I have seen ones that I think are better than this, but this is still like top 10 for me easily. I don't watch a lot of them, but I usually catch some of the best that people are talking about. This is one of them.
It's
so
a good fan
I think,
film. There's, I mean, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but the part that
good,
the stormtroopers cut the lightsabers, it cuts his lightsaber in half. When has a stormtrooper ever hit anything? I'm calling yeah. shenanigans.
Now
Lacey's
the one
film
that's tearing it apart more
a joke.
Than,
I watched this thing yesterday and I forget all these parts. I just remember
at the beginning it cuts his thing and that's why he holds all the blaster bolts up because he can't block them anymore. But the thing
like
is now you're saying that stormtroopers can actually hit things?
I don't
what
think
about
it was
the
cut.
Cannon
it was
people.
Just like shot out of his hand so he was unable to use it in the moment because he uses it later again.
Yeah, but that was a dream.
But okay, yeah.
Don't I'm sorry. Again, the dream is the laziest writing.
Well, it was also the a dream within a dream. So he's like, he comes in and he's talking to Palpatine and then like they get in a fight.
It's
but
like
then
Inception.
It was a dream. And then Padme actually is really there. But then that was all a dream.
Well,
because,
in part two that I heard, part two comes
Palpatine
out.
Was like messing with his mind. And then that was all a dream because he actually woke up and he was like not even in the suit at all. So it's like dream within a dream within a dream. It's just like nuts.
So part what would two, be his inception he's, token?
He's spinning a pot at the top in part two and he's going to stare at it.
Well, what would be his moves. Token though? Because everybody's token is specific.
What would be Darth Vader's token if he was in
Inception?
His little thing that Padme gave him, his little thing.
Oh yeah, that's in the fan film actually. Yeah. The little necklace that
the little
he
necklace,
has.
Yeah.
It also took me out that Anakin wasn't Anakin, and then Padme wasn't
No, that's
Padme.
What I was just about to say. And then they hired that girl to be Padme and that kid to be
Well, I'm shocked
Anakin,
Natalie Portman
and I'm like,
didn't come back.
Who are these people? Yeah. Hey, if Nathan Fillion can come in to play Drake.
Oh my God.
Natalie Portman's Drake like, and, I'm done with Star Wars. Unless it's a fan film where I'll get paid no
I'm
money,
in.
Then I'm in.
Then she I'm got paid in. To do the SNL thing, the Padme thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but
that was better than this fan film, probably.
Oh. All
right, guys.
I'm
if
just
you want
kidding.
To hear me,
Jesus, I'm just going on the other end of it. It was a good fan
if
film.
If you
want to
hear me
good times.
Talk about all the bad things about this fan film, then look for me nowhere because I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say one more thing about this.
You're so
the
sassy
name,
tonight, James.
The name of the fan film is Shards of the Past, and my first band was called Shards of Winter's Past.
So they stole your band name? Way to go, Star Wars theory.
The only thing missing is winter. They replaced the or
and
winter
then James'
the,
second band stole their name from a movie.
So who's stealing from
actually
who,
no
James?
I take it back. Shards of Winter's Past was my second band. My first band was called Zero Point, which is funny because we didn't see or foresee somebody saying there's 0 point to this band.
I was gonna say.
Oh man
but I think
please
that
tell
is
me why the Emperor
is
wearing slip-ons. It's really bothering me now.
I didn't even
I'm gonna have
that.
To tweet at Star Wars Theory and be like, yo bro,
because the leaders of giant organizations wear slippers and we have canon movie film proof of that. That's why What would you put him in, Lacey?
Do we know? Wait, hold on. This is a real question. Do we know Nikes what Palpatine was wearing in Return of the Jedi? Like, did we ever see his feet?
No, he's naked under that robe.
No, but you know what? He may have some sort of like photography that they do for like continuity and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there might be a visual dictionary, if you will.
Mm-hmm. He probably worked with Return the 501st, and I'm just being like an idiot.
In the prequels, he was wearing like loafers. Like when he's wearing like black loafers or something, like, right?
That might be what he's wearing, but it took me out. Like when you see modern things, just kind of like what we were talking about last week, where we talked about Last Shot, where like there's a lot of modern things that like take you out of the movie. You know, when someone like, oh, so-and-so got French fries. You're like, there's no French fries in Star Wars.
They're talking Get about out coffee of here. And, yeah. Well, whatever.
No, well, yeah, calf. But in one of the Zahn novels, there's cocoa. And that
well,
was
let
like
me say this.
Hot chocolate. That was like
Star Wars Theory did a wonderful job with that fan
I
film.
I loved it.
And it was a good fan film.
Except the shoes.
Yeah, and I hope that they make another one. Like, I think that would
me
be
too.
Great because everybody who loved it wants to see another one. And I think that stuff should exist. People should be doing that. That's all I can say about all these stories. So I think there's a couple other things that we wanted to run down, if you will.
Why do you always do that? They know
Why do
what's
I
going
always
on.
Do that?
Do
they?
Run down? You always do the Austin Powers thing.
A few things we want to run down.
No, all are right. we not doing this?
All right, let's go over to the Scoundrel's Rundown. She's going to count it down. Ready?
No, he does it.
John does it? I'm just kidding. We're getting way off. John, send us on the Scoundrel's Rundown. Let's do it.
We're running out of time on this episode, so we may not get to everyone's questions at the end. That sucks.
Hurry up.
All right.
Let's
go. All right. On the count of 17. 1, 2, 3. Just kidding.
Punch it.
Punch it. Got it.
All right, guys. The Obi-Wan Kenobi comic in the Age of Republic era, issue 1, is available to be... I don't know if it's available to the public, but it's out there, guys. And it's by Jody Houser. And the first issue features... you take a look at young Kenobi training with Qui-Gon Jinn, which is very interesting. They did not make any mention of Obi-Wan Kenobi's origin, so that is still quite a bit of a mystery, though many people just assume he, just like any young Jedi,
maybe
he was
they did
plucked from his family or dropped off at the Jedi Temple.
Sure.
We're not really sure. Then we also see Obi-Wan with young Anakin, with Yoda sending him to find a holocron after Anakin expressed boredom doing youngling training. Anakin got himself out of trouble on his own. The Rundown, Lacey. Running it down now.
Sorry.
Running it down.
He's such a brat.
Yes, he is.
Go ahead.
All Skywalkers are brats. Come on. All right. So Anakin gets himself in trouble with a pirate, and Obi-Wan lets him kind of get himself out of it. How does he do it? He throws rocks at the pirate. Good job, Skywalker. Good job throwing rocks at people.
It's more than just lifting rocks.
Kenobi expresses lacking confidence in his abilities to train Anakin as master. He even admits that to Anakin, saying, "You feel like you're stuck with me. I feel like you got stuck with me as your master. I didn't get stuck with you as my Padawan." So that was pretty interesting. But we'll see how this develops. Obviously, the relationship with Anakin and Kenobi is going to be explored here in between episodes 1 and 2, which will add a lot more weight to their final battle in episodes 3 and 4. Next, we have another book. Han Solo Icons is coming out on April 2nd, but it is available right now on Sideshow Collectibles website for $40. We had it reviewed at Star Wars News Net. Also, by the way, the last review was Kyle Larson on Star Wars News Net of the Kenobi comic. So thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
We also have a review of Han Solo Icons. And essentially, it's a must own if you're a Han Solo fan. Covers everything from the character's creation, from when it was a lizard with gills, to how it evolved into a human, how Harrison Ford wound up getting the role, all the way to the character itself from beginning to his end, his designs, his look, his attitude. What inspired the character from George Lucas's mind, all that stuff down the line. It is the ultimate, from his weapons, the Falcon, everything Han Solo.
I need that.
In this Icons book. I got to pick it up because I'm so excited to dive into this and learn more about the character. So go check that out. Again, it's available in April 2nd, but now it is available exclusively on Sideshow Collectibles for $40. So if you want it now, can't wait, go get it. So that will do it for the Scoundrels Rundown. Ooh. We are going to send it over now to Lacey so we can dive into your questions, because I ran through that rundown so quick for you guys so we can get to your questions. So Chewie, my friend, get us out of here.
John, you did such a good job. That was amazing.
Thanks.
Guys, it is the first Ask the Resistance of 2019.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, is it?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. So wait, you guys have some Star Wars questions.
Does that mean?
Wait, what?
I was going to say, does that mean you're not going to do the you have questions, we have answers thing anymore?
I was just going to do it.
Oh.
I've been wondering. What are midichlorians?
You have Star Wars questions. We have Star Wars answers. Yeah. Okay, there it is. Okay, so the first question comes from Paul Buckle at Buckle, but the L is a one. And he asks, do you think they will one day use as a plot point in a future movie the destruction, of the Millennium Falcon? Personally, I regard it like a cherished character and hope not, but that doesn't mean it couldn't have a noble end. Look forward to your take. Paul, thank you for your question. I'm going to take this one first, ladies first. I'd like to think that they'll never get rid of it, simply because they're placing it as a central point in their theme park. So if they were going to destroy it, I don't think they'd base their theme park around it. I heard an interesting take online recently where they said that people thought that in episode 9, you're going to see the Millennium Falcon end up in Batuu. So when you walk in Batuu for the theme park, you're walking in at the end of episode 9 where the Millennium Falcon will stay.
Nope.
You can think that, James. That was just someone's thought.
I can think that.
Do I think they're ever going to get rid of it? No. Just like they won't destroy C-3PO or R2-D2 or BB-8. Those,
or Chewie. Ding, ding.
Or Chewie. Those are evergreen characters, guys.
You got her, John.
So evergreen characters mean that they never go bad. You know, they're always going to be around. They're always going to be good no matter what the other actors are doing. You can always build another robot. You can't build another person. Right. So yeah, no, I don't think so, Paul. But thank you for your question. The next question comes from Jimmy at Old Guy Jedi. And he asks, what if Bail Organa had taken Luke? James, what do you think?
All right. So I started off thinking about this pretty heavily, but I think I kind of have the lame answer, which is I think that their roles would essentially just be reversed. And I don't say that as like the surfacey answer. I actually thought about this a lot, and I actually do think that a lot of the upbringing of why Leia is the way that she is and why Luke is the way that they are is because of the location where they were at and who raised them. I think if Leia would have been the one on Tatooine. On Tatooine. I'm trying to think of the homestead. Lars homestead. Okay. Yeah. Then she would have just been the one that was like, man, I wish I could get out of here, but like, I don't know, I just got to do this and this and this. Whereas I think that Luke would then have been a little bit more of like the political go-getter. I think their roles just essentially would have been reversed. Now, I do know there's the whole story of like Yoda, and he says he wanted to train Leia, but I think that came long after the fact. I think that was like, you know, 19 BBY. I guess like 1 BBY or whatever, like right before all that stuff happened and they felt like they had to come out into the open again. I think that the roles would have been reversed, and I don't think it's as crazy of a thing. I don't think he would have been on some completely different journey. I guess it's kind of nurture versus nature thing. I don't think their personalities were inherent to what they became. I think it's more along the lines of being raised by the people who took care of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is completely true. I think it your upbringing is what defines you as a person, basically. I saw some really cool fan art once of someone that took the roles and changed them up.
Yeah, I think I've seen that too.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So it would have been Leia would have kept Skywalker. It would have been Leia Skywalker and Luke Organa.
Right.
Well, yeah, I like the idea that it was Luke Lars until he found out more about his father.
Yeah, isn't that Pavlov's headcanon or whatever?
Yeah, I kind of like that story. I think I've talked about it a little bit and how it might not make sense totally, like thoroughly, but I think it's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, our next question is from Darth Hurricane at Darth Hurricane. And he asks, if we do not see Leia's death in episode 9, do you think we may get some sort of coda at the end saying X years after the battle, General Leia Organa passed away peacefully, rather than leaving it for a book or unknown to the casual Star Wars fan? John, what do you think? Do you think they're going to mention her death at all, or do you think they're just going to leave it out to the cosmos?
So this is saying if she doesn't die, right?
Right. If she lives through. Yeah.
Kind of
like those post scene things where they're like, so-and-so got a job at blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. No, because Star Wars doesn't do that. Star Wars doesn't do end credit scenes. Star Wars doesn't do epilogues. And I don't think they'll do it even though this is the end of the Skywalker saga.
So, but John, they did one for Rebels.
And they did it for Harry Potter. And I hate it.
At the end of Rebels, they did that?
Yeah, they're like years later after the Battle of Jakku. This is where all the characters ended up.
What?
What are you talking about? Oh, you don't remember that?
Oh, you're talking about Rebels, the TV show on Disney XD. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was joking. I said, but John, Rebels did it.
Oh my God, Simpsons!
And then you acted all crazy.
I thought you said Rogue One, and I was like, am I going nuts?
Yeah.
Am I taking crazy pills?
All right, sorry. All right, Darth. Listen, no, they're not going to do that. They're not going to break that mold. It's going to say, directed by J.J. Abrams, and there's going to be no epilogue, no text, no end credit scene. Thanos is not showing up. Nothing like that is happening. And they're going to leave Leia. If she lives, she's going to live on in books, and she's going to grow old and keep doing Leia things as they continue the story of Rey, Finn, and Poe and everybody until episode 10 comes back. And then they'll acknowledge that she passed away peacefully.
Until Disney makes their money.
And became one with the Force. And that'll be that. So I think Leia will live on in other medias until episode 10. Then they'll say she had passed away at some point. That's my
nice.
Answer.
Okay, so we have two more questions. These are two quickly, all of us answer quickly.
Extra questions.
Bonus questions.
Bonus.
The first one's from Villain at Scum and Villainy, and he asks, hey, dudes and dudette. Hey, what up? If you had to face a zombie apocalypse with only one Star Wars character's help, who would it be? I'll let James go first.
I don't know about us being best friends, but I gotta go with Palpatine, right? He's gonna be the person that says, all right, we're gonna be up in our ship and I've planned out this whole thing and then I'm gonna push this button and then they all like get evaporated or blown up or something. Like if there is a plan, he's probably got the best plan to execute.
He's a good planner.
I took this question as like you're on the ground with one person. Who would it be? Like you're in
That's
the apocalypse.
Fine.
Yeah.
That person will get blown up with my Palpatine plan.
All right, John, who do you think?
I got to go with the guy who's always gets out of things, but he's also really smart.
I know where he's. Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Han Solo.
I was going to say
Han. I thought he was going to say Han Solo before he said smart.
But Han's kind of stupid. So yeah, Obi-Wan always finds himself in a really tough situation where he probably should be dead, and he always finds his way out of it.
How did we get ourselves into this? We're smarter than this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Han would have been like, no, we're not. No, so I got to go with Obi-Wan. I think he would have helped me get through that thing some way or another.
I'm going to pick Kylo Ren because if I'm going to die, I might as well look at someone good looking while I'm dying.
Oh
also, we could fight back to back.
Gosh.
We could fight back to back.
No, he's got the mask on. You don't get Ben Solo. You get Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren didn't wear his mask in Last Jedi. What movie did you watch? No, but he would fight for you, and you guys could do synchronized fights together. It'd be super cool, and you get super angry and just murder everyone. And I can't say Darth Vader, because if I died, Vader would be like, whatever, move on. Whereas I feel like Kylo would avenge my death.
What is happening?
That guy would leave you so quickly.
Oh, God. Oh, villain.
I hope that answered your question. Because it answered my question.
What's the
to
next
be honest, one? Though, if we wanted to answer this question honestly, I said honest like 7 times in that sentence, I would just die, because I would never survive a zombie apocalypse. It would never happen. I'd die the first day. Okay, Neil Positive. Speaking of positive, Neil Positive at Lowery Neil.
Lowery, I think, probably.
Lowery. Yeah. Lowery. Lowery Neil. Says, hi, do you carry around anything Star Wars daily? Keychain, pen, etc. Okay, I'm going to start with John on this one.
So I don't carry anything around. As far as I remember, I don't think there's anything in my wallet, but I do have the Han dice hanging from the mirror of my car. So anywhere I'm cruising to work, wherever I'm going, I got Han's dice with me, Neil.
James?
Okay. I was waiting to see if you were going to go.
No, go ahead.
When I was in Disney, I bought a Resistance pin, which has shown up in a couple of our Patreon videos. But that pin is on my laptop case, so it goes with me everywhere, as my laptop does. Other than that, I think for Christmas I got some like coaster things that go in the car, so that would be considered that. But really, I don't have anything that I carry. I don't even really carry keys. I have like a key fob and then a single separate key that is to my house, and they're even in different pockets, so like I'm very minimal.
Sweet. I carry everything, Neil. So I have...
Lacey has like 20 keychains that slush around when she's trying to look for a key to the house.
She's a janitor.
Yeah, exactly.
I have... Let me see. Is my phone on the table? Yeah. So I have a Kylo Ren background on my phone, which I carry around with me everywhere. I have Luke's lightsaber on my keychain. I carry around a Star Wars Last Jedi bag every day. My wallet is Star Wars... usually if I'm not carrying around my big laptop bag, I'm carrying around my small little Rebels backpack. And then generally I don't wear it in the video, because one time I wore it and it reflected the lights. It's a necklace from my best friend that says Death Star on it. I wear that if not every day. And that's the answer to your question. Thanks for your question. That was a fun one. People get creative. I like it. If you want to be on the show, tweet at us at RBATSWNN with hashtag Ask the Resistance. And you could be on the show. It could be Star Wars related, or Star Wars related, or Kylo Ren related. Whatever you want. Casual. All right. Back to you, John.
All right. The countdown to Kylo Ren's death begins right now. I'm just kidding. I love Kylo Ren. Everyone out there knows that.
No.
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. Welcome back to 2019. We're kicking it off the right way. We hope you guys had a good time listening to
Star
the show.
My mouse had Star Wars, too.
What is that?
Nice.
My mouse pad?
Very cool.
Never heard of one.
Make sure you guys are subscribed to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, how you doing?
Leave a comment.
Leave a comment.
Give it a thumbs up.
James is a banana.
Don't, James.
Hashtag.
Make sure you guys head to our shop. We have a bunch of merch, and it's always growing. James Bandy designs a lot of these, so he's not a banana in that regard. Go to tpublic.com/user/resistancebroadcast. They're always doing sales over there. They have t-shirts, mugs, stickers, tapestries, mouse pads, I think, all bunch of crazy stuff over there. So we appreciate you repping the podcast that way, because people are always like, hey, what is that? Hey, where'd you get that shirt? Hey, where's that sticker from? And you say, the Resistance Broadcast. What are you, crazy? Jeez. Subscribe.
Would anyone buy a shirt with a banana on it?
We should design one.
Does that banana have a lightsaber?
Guys, you guys also should go to Star Wars.
You should make a banana with the high-waisted pants
for all of your latest news, reviews, editorials, information, and more. Check out our Patreon, guys. We have a very active Patreon page. I like to think it's the most active ever in the history of Patreon.
I like to picture my Patreon page with big wings.
With a tuxedo t-shirt.
Yeah.
And you can find that page at patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. And you could start by getting access to the page for $2 a month. That's it, guys. That's about, I don't know, like a cent a day or something. I don't know. That's probably not right. But it's a very little amount per day.
It's like one taco. Because
there's 200 days in a month.
How about like a piece of paper and a pencil?
That sounds about right.
All right. There we go. We'll do that. For $2 a month, you can join our Patreon page. We have stuff we're uploading there pretty much every day. I do a rumor review. Lacey's just starting a thing where she's unboxing stuff and being like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Spoiler alert.
And
James
is going to be doing videos and all that sort of stuff. What else? What else we got here? Oh, me. You guys can find me on Twitter at Johnny Hoey and writing at StarWarsNewsNet.com. James Bainey, how about you, Mr. Trunks?
You can find James Bainey on the Twitter at Myra Trunks, MIRHTRUNKS. Lacey, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Lacey Giller, and I'm also on Instagram at Lacey Giller, and I don't update that as much as Twitter, though. And you can find me on my new show called Lacey's Outpost, where I review Star Wars stuff like toys and products and whatnot. The first episode, I talk about Phantom Menace Monopoly. I go on for 20 minutes, guys. Patreon users will probably get an extended cut. But everybody else can look out for that. It's coming soon.
Cool.
Is it possible to play a game on Skype?
I don't know. We could try. One person would have to be the bored person.
So, Lacey, that you're going to make that public to everybody?
Yeah, public to everybody, but Patreon users get the director's cut.
Interesting. I didn't even know that. So how about that, folks? I'm so out of the loop. All right, guys. We are at the end of the show, but guess what? We're back with you on Thursday, where we're going to discuss, could Kylo Ren and Rey possibly have more than one lightsaber battle in episode 9? We're going to talk about all the possibilities as to why that could happen. So enjoy your weeks, subscribe, buy your merch, join our Patreon, but most importantly, we'll see you on Thursday.
What was that?
Right here on the Resistance Broadcast. We'll see you around, kids.
Bye.